The Book Nook on WYSO is presented by the Greene County Public Library, with additional support from Wright Memorial Public Library, Clark County Public Library, Tipp City Public Library, Dayton Metro Library, and Washington Centerville Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis. It's my pleasure to welcome to the program today Shamaya Sumlin. She's the author of a new book called Brothers and Sisters, A Memoir to Heaven. She joins us on the telephone in Dayton. Welcome to the program, Shamaya.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Shamaya, tell me how this happened. How did you decide to write this book?
So I know I wanted to be a screenwriter since a very young age. But I didn't know where to start, especially coming from Ohio, which isn't that prominent in screenwriting and writing. So I had to start somewhere, and I felt like a book would be the perfect place to start. And it was a personal book, so I didn't have to, like, come up with any stories or any characters or anything like that. I just drew it from my memories, and it was the easiest thing for me to put out there firsthand as a debut novel.
You're calling it a novel, but it's really your story, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But so it's nonfiction.
Yes, it's nonfiction.
Okay. Well, I wanted to double check that because the things you describe in this, it's some tough stuff. Some of this, and I'm hoping things are going smoother for you now than they were.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. And you were born in 2004, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So young. Tell us about your story and what you decided to write about in this memoir, Brothers and Sisters.
So the story is based around three poems that signified my favorite colors throughout my life. So it's purple, black, and green. And I wrote the poems when I was going to college. I went to college for theater, so I had to audition to get in. And basically, I had to write something, act something, do anything that signified myself, but that I could perform in front of others.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote a poem, and I performed it in front of my class, and everyone loved it. Everyone else had did like acting pieces since it was, so mine was really the only one that was towards writing. So that's where I got the poem from. And then after I left college, I didn't really know where to start, so I just kind of tried to do my own thing, something that I could create myself. So I started writing this book in about 2022, and then I took a break. It took me a year to finish writing it, and then that's when I went to meet with Maria, the person who published the book and helped me edit it and basically did a lot, like everything that I didn't know how to do, Maria and Rosalie did it for me. So that also took about a year. And then in May of this year, that's when everything was done. I had a book signing. I got it out there. And now we're here. So everything took about 2 to 3 years to finish. But that's what leaned me towards writing a book, because I want to be a screenwriter, and that's like the first steps.
Gotcha. And you're talking about Maria Gassard and Rosalie Catalano. How did you connect with them?
So I had my book about 75% done, and I just looked around for printing companies. I didn't know Maria knew how to publish books or anything. I just went in there one day and asked her. I went in there and got a price range for how much it would cost to just print the books out so that I would have them. She took it upon herself to get it published for me, to get it edited. She even helped me design a new book cover, which is way better than the book cover that I had when I went in there. And she just did a lot of things that I didn't know would be needed to be done since it was my first book.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yes, it's really nicely done.
Yeah. It's Brothers and Sisters, A Memoir to Heaven. Shamaya Sumlin joins us. Okay, so tell us your story that you detail in the book. Tell our listeners some of the things you've gone through. Let's start off in your purple period, in the purple room.
Okay. So that, the purple, it signifies my life from when I was born till about 13 years old. So in that period of my life, I'm very naive to the problems that my family were having. It was really just me and my two siblings in a house, a very wore-down house, but we didn't even notice it at the time because we were so young. So that part of the story basically just shows me and my siblings what we've been through, how we were raised together, and how we were so close-knit, like how siblings should be growing up as kids before you get your own personalities and your own jobs and your own ways of life. So it basically just shows my family as we were young before things happened.
And a big part of this was that there wasn't a man heading the household. Is that correct?
No, there wasn't a man heading the household. So my older brother, he kind of tried to take place of the man, but being so young and having so much on his shoulders, it kind of, like, it didn't work out how we wanted it to work out.
Tell us about your big brother.
Yeah, so my big brother, we were best friends growing up. It was just us two for about 6 years. So we were best friends. We went through everything together, like all the ups, all the downs. It was always just us. And then my baby sister, she was so young, she didn't really understand anything. So it would always be us babysitting her in the house by ourselves, cleaning. I would do the cooking. He would do the cleaning. Going to school, riding the buses together, figuring out life, getting in trouble by our parents and stuff. It was just a lot of childhood memories go into the purple story. So purple is just about our childhood memories and what made us into the teenagers we were as we go into the black poem.
And the black signifies a lot of different things, doesn't it?
Yes. That's probably like the most profound poem in the book. I think it's the After Black is the longest story. So purple, the part purple is quite short. It's only a few paragraphs long. And then once you get to black, that's basically all of the book. Like 65 to 75% of the book is black.
And a lot of this revolves around the situations that your mom got herself in, and your mom's had a tough time, and there's a lot of conflict between the two of you that you describe. Your mom had some troubles, and these, of course, cascaded down upon the people around her.
Mm-hmm. I think this story is a lot about generational trauma.
Yeah.
That's a big theme in this story, is generational trauma.
And you've been through some, haven't you?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Well, you're a strong person, obviously. Reading your memoir, just the way that you've endured and the way that you've gotten through things, and you've fought to get the things that you want in your life. You really wanted to be 18, didn't you?
Yes. I really needed to be 18 because, you know, before 18, there's a lot of things you can't control, or it's a lot of things, physical things and like money things that you don't have any control over. And when the person who does have control over them isn't prioritizing it, it makes it really hard. Mm. So I was really waiting to turn 18.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to 91.3 WYSO, community-owned public radio for curious listeners. And in the Book Nook today, my guest is Shamaya Sumlin. Her new book, Brothers and Sisters, A Memoir to Heaven. And the title is very significant because you are grieving for some people that are no longer around.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am. And a lot of those people had their own brothers and sisters who can relate to this story as well.
And we have photos in the book where you show us some of your family and some happier times and some pictures that are probably pretty difficult to show, like pictures of your brother who died. Tell us about him some more. Tell us about what happened to him.
Yes, so my brother, when he sadly passed away, he was 18. Him, his best friend, and his girlfriend, they sadly met their demise in a car accident about 6 years ago in 2019. And before then, we all lived in the same house. His girlfriend and his brother would come over every day. They would take me to school, pick me up. He was out of school at this time, so he was done with high school. But they would take me to school and pick me up every day. And we kind of developed, not kind of, we developed a routine every day. So I got so used to being around not only him, of course, because that's my sibling, but his best friend and his girlfriend. So after the situation happened, it was very hard for me to try to figure out life again without them being there.
Mm.
And in Black, we take a lot of deep dives into that and into how the situation affected my mom. Because you would think the hardest part about losing a sibling is actually losing a sibling, but it's actually the pain that it brings your parent, because your sibling is gone, but you feel like you will never be able to heal your parent, which you won't, but your parent will have to learn how to live with those things on their own. But being so young, I didn't understand that. I put it all on myself, honestly. Like, I felt like she didn't try hard enough for her kids that were still here. But I didn't understand that she was just grieving. Like, I was grieving, she was grieving, we all were grieving.
Mm-hmm.
And no, she didn't handle it how I would want her to handle it. But she's a human being. Parents are human beings just as well as everyone. So that's a big life lesson that I had to learn. And it's reflected in the part Black of my book, which is part two. It was a crazy part of my life, but that helped me become the person I am today. So, yes, I would do anything to have him back, but I now, as an adult, understand that people have to go and people have to come. That's life.
Mm.
And it's going to affect your emotions and other people's emotions, and you just have to keep going. Maybe put out a book about it or talk to your friends about it, and it'll all come together. Life will work out how it's supposed to work out.
Well, Samaya, one of the complications that keeps coming up in your story is the transportation issue. You're in Dayton, Ohio, and you needed to get to school. There were a lot of issues with having motor vehicles and having them available, and you went through a lot of complications with the whole transportation thing, didn't you?
Yes, that was the hardest part, especially because the situation with my brother, he hit a bus. So I was really not afraid, but I didn't enjoy buses. It was just something that I didn't really want to experience. Like, it traumatized me. So that was already out of the picture. And then everyone already has their own lives. Like, they have their own routines and stuff. So it was hard for people to try to fit me in there and make sure I made it to school.
Hmm.
Even the people who were supposed to make sure I made it to school, they didn't.
Yeah.
So, yes, transportation was a big issue throughout this book and is a big issue for a lot of teenagers who are trying to make it in school and go back and forth. So, yeah, I really hope Dayton can get that together because they don't even have buses anymore that take you directly to and from school. You have to be on the bus with a lot of weirdos and, you know, just random people. And I don't think that's a good move that they made.
Hmm. Yes, my guest is Shamaya Sumlin. Her book is Brothers and Sisters, A Memoir to Heaven. You give us snapshots of your life, and one that really stuck with me, an early one. I believe you were very young, and your brother decided to take you out, and it was cold, and you little kids weren't really dressed for it, and a woman kind of got alarmed about the situation, and this is kind of a classic moment that shows just sort of the difficulties that were going on with the family.
Yes. Yes, my brother, he was definitely a character. He liked to live a crazy life. Like, he liked to go out and have fun with his friends. And my mom, being a single parent, she needed help. So she would ask my brother to watch us and babysit us. But being the kid that he still was, he wanted to have fun with his friends. So one day, he took us out in the cold, and we were getting on the bus. Again, bus situation was coming up. We were getting on the bus, and a lady had saw us, and she had contacted my mom for her to come get us. And when she came and got us, she had to leave work. So she was very angry about that situation. And when we got home, the story is really important because when we got home, it was the last time my mother, like, gave my brother a whooping for being, it was the last time she really could discipline him because he was getting older and he was already bigger than her at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really the last time she could try to put her foot down.
Mm-hmm.
And then after this, he kind of figured out that she couldn't discipline him. Like, we didn't have a father in the house. She was smaller. Her thrashes weren't no longer hurting. So I feel like after that story, it was a turning point for us. He kind of went further and further downhill because the disciplining that he was receiving from being bad or not listening or just doing what he wanted to do was no longer... It was no longer affecting him, and no longer hurt it, and no longer he just didn't care anymore.
Hmm.
That's what I was trying to get from that story. I'm sorry.
You're good. Do you feel like the absence of the paternal figure was a big problem as far as just creating these situations? Do you think if there had been a strong male figure consistently in your lives, that maybe things might have been different?
Absolutely, 100%. Male figures, children need mothers and children need fathers. Even if they're not together living in the same house, children need that discipline from their mother, so that maternal discipline, do your schoolwork and keep the house clean and such like that. But a father's discipline, it will tell you, like, carry yourself with respect and respect others. Respect your mother, and just things like that. So I feel like they're for two totally different acts of discipline, and just having one will outbalance the child.
So
I feel like me and my siblings were very outbalanced, and that caused a lot of dilemma throughout our childhood lives. And even adulthood, I'm still having dilemmas from just having that in balance, I'm still dealing with dilemmas. I'm still wishing I could call a father figure to figure some things out. So, yes, I do feel like having one parent is, it's not terrible. Like, it's not the worst thing that could happen to someone. Of course, I'm still here. I'm doing well for myself. But it's not ideal.
It's also not uncommon, right?
Yes, it's not uncommon.
Okay. My guest is Shamaya Sumlin. Her book is Brothers and Sisters, A Memoir to Heaven. I'm a little nervous about asking this, but I'm going to anyway. Is your mom still with us? And if she is, how's she doing?
Yes, my mom is still with us. We went through a lot of turmoil. Even after this book, we kind of still weren't getting along. I'm coming out with a part two in a couple of years, so I will touch more on those bases in that. But she's still with us. We're doing way better. We're no longer arguing or fighting. We're doing way better. She's taking very well care of my sister. So my sister is actually the age that I was when I, in Part Purple, Part One, when I wrote the book. So my sister is now 15 years old, and she's in high school. Mm-hmm. So I help with her. Me and my mom, we talk all the time. We have a very good relationship now. It's still some things that we can get together, but over time, it's getting really good. She slowed down on drinking. She left the man that I talked about a lot throughout the book. She's working. She has a house. So she's got extremely better. And I love her for that.
Yeah, it's really kind of haunting to read about your mom's relationship with this abusive guy, and she had to keep going back to him all the time. She couldn't stop herself, could she?
No, and I felt like my mom, she kind of didn't know how to live without a man. Like, she always felt like she needed help or needed to be in a relationship or something of that instance. And I kind of steered away from that. Like, I've almost never been in a relationship as a 21-year-old woman. And there was just a lot of things that she did after my brother passed away. And even before my brother passed away, she wasn't just perfect, as no one is. But, yeah, nowadays, she's gotten way better. Like, I'm so happy for her.
Well, good. And what does she think about your book? Because you really open up the family treasure chest here and show us a lot of stuff, personal stuff from the family. You and your mom are kind of going at it here. What does she think about it?
So at first, I actually had to ask her a lot of questions to even make the book, because a lot of things I didn't remember or didn't know. So at first, she was very helpful with me making the book. She didn't shy away from any of the questions or anything like that. But then when I actually started to get the book produced and I was telling her about it, we kind of got into an altercation because she was mad that I wasn't going to change the names.
Oh.
Exactly. So I'm like, no, I'm not going to change the names. Like, this is my story. I'm not mad at anyone. I'm not trying to, what is the word? Defamate anyone's character, but this is my story, and I feel like people won't relate to it as much, especially my own family members reading it. I want them to know who did this and who did that and just how I felt. I didn't feel like it would be my words if I changed the name. And I just had to explain that to her, and I told her, like, my life was very hard. I want to be able to tell my story the way I want to tell it. And the thing she said to me, it kind of bothered me. She said, well, my life is hard too, and you don't see me trying to just put it out there and down people. But I told her, like, you can write your own book. I understand your life was hard, but this is my life, and this is what I want to tell, and this is what I want to put out. Everyone's not going to be happy with it. I understand that, and that's the sacrifice I'm willing to take. But I'm using these names. I'm sorry. And she understood it. And this was before she even read it. So once she read it, she was very happy with it. She cried to me. We talked about it. She apologized. She, even after that, she made a lot of changes, like how I just said. She got a house and stuff. After she read the book, that's when a lot of those things happened. So I'm kind of happy that I did that, because I felt like she didn't, she understood what she put me through, and she didn't want to do the same thing to my baby sister, who I said was the same age as me in the book.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you helped your mom out by writing the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it really helped her. So I'm glad that I wrote this book and that she read it, and yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you wrote it, too. And you close out the book with The Color Green, which is my favorite. And I think it's a great color, and I'm glad you're in green. Are you still in green?
Yes, I'm still in green.
Now, tell us about green.
Yes, so green is basically once I enter adulthood. So once I entered adulthood, a lot of things turned around for me. Like, I got my own apartment. I went to school for theater. I always had a job. Like, I've always been a hairdresser since I was very young. So I had money coming in. But now, since I was an adult, I could use that money for the things I needed. I didn't have to try to figure things out with my money. So it was easier for me to be financially independent. So with that being said, green kind of points to money, peace, and me just trying to figure out adulthood now that I can do everything on my own. And I actually didn't enter the story for green because I wanted to be able to put it in my next book. Mostly because, like I said, I'm still in my green phase. I didn't want to just end it out in the middle of a story. Green things, earth.
Mm-hmm.
One phrase I said in the book, or in the green passage, was, I held on to the grass to not fall off the edge of the earth. So I felt like I was holding on to the earth, because I was in a era of becoming someone new. I was so used to trying to survive every day that when I finally got to be able to just chill, it changed me.
Mm.
So going from survival to a calm lifestyle every day, it was hard for me to kind of transition. It was hard for me to transition. I'll touch more into that on my next book, so I really hope everyone is waiting on that.
All right. Well, Shamaya, it's really been a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks for being my guest.
No problem. No problem. It was a pleasure being on your program. You were very nice, and it was nice talking to you.
Thank you. My guest has been Shamaya Sumlin. Her book is Brothers and Sisters, A Memoir to Heaven. You heard about it on the Book Nook. Thanks for listening.